Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Thank you, and good evening, one and all. We're so glad you could be aboard for Maine Outdoors, Maine's most enduring, long-lasting talk radio program devoted talking about hunting and fishing in the great outdoors. And there's some good news. Did you know that, Bob?
There's good news tonight.
There's good news tonight. If you are a deer hunter and you've yet to punch your tag, like yours truly, good news coming up. Number one is we're going to get some snow on Wednesday. I'm not sure about around Bangor area, but north.
Yeah, north of Bangor.
We're going to get some snow quite a bit, I guess. And then, of course, the peak of the rut is this week.
Really?
Now, when's November 15th, Norm? Is that Wednesday?
15th. Today's the 13th, so yeah. It'd be Tuesday, right?
Tuesday. All right. So anyway, this is the peak of the rut. So tomorrow's going to be bright and sunny, cool. And you got the ruts going, and the deer are going to start moving. And things are going to get exciting.
It's going to get cold, too.
And it is going to get cold.
You got to wear your snuggies.
Oh, I got my snuggies. I have two types of snuggies.
Oh, good, good.
I have the mediums and the heavies.
Yes, well, those are heavies are even better. In fact,
I put the lights away. But anyway, I could have hunted with the blaze orange shorts and yes. Blaze orange Tevas the first week. Man, it was hot.
Oh, wasn't it awful, huh? Unbelievable.
Yeah. Anyway, going to take a new twist tonight. Kind of a risk, you know, in this business and show business. Sometimes we have guests who help fill up the hour, but tonight it's up to you. Tonight we have an open mic night, and we're going to put out a topic. We want you to chat with us about it. And if you don't call in and chat, well, Bob and I will have to sing songs and do tap dancing and stuff.
And that would be a little rugged.
That would be.
Please call.
All right. I'm going to introduce the topic in just a moment. But first, the crew who make the show possible week after week are devoted, dedicated producer, engineer, the man behind the toggle switches there in the operations center. We used to call him the sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream, but now we call him the carrot man. The carrot man. Does your wife know we're calling you the carrot man?
No.
Yeah, like tell her?
That's a well-kept secret.
Oh, anyway,
at
Norm
least at
Port,
my house it is.
take a bow, Norm.
Good evening, everybody, and yes, please call.
Okay, and our esteemed co-host is a master Maine guide. He's been writing fishing books for years now, and he used to be a deputy game warden, my friend Bob Lehman.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you very kindly. I appreciate it. And let me say one thing quickly.
Yeah.
You took a fall today? Yesterday?
No, it was a couple days ago.
You took a fall. You found a beautiful place to hunt in the woods, and you got a little excited about it, and all of a sudden...
Tripped and fell flat on my face.
You went. Right on your...
Oh, flat on my face.
Flat on your face. Not on your tootsie, but your face.
Well, yeah. But anyway, I wrenched my left hip a little bit. Yeah,
no.
So I've been limping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm heading for...
I noticed that tonight. And a heavy limp.
I'm heading for deer camp, too. So.
Oh, my.
I don't know. I'm going to have to hunt from the truck, heater hunt, like all the other old guys.
Do you have any tree hunts or anything like that? What do you have?
No,
you know,
I won't be climbing up in a tree.
No,
I can tell you that. Anyway, tonight's topic is... We want you to tell us about your favorite deer camp, and we want you to tell us why it's your favorite deer camp, and if you got some stories you want to share with us, we'd love to hear them. I have some stories myself about some of my deer camps. I think Bob Lehman does as well, and perhaps Norm does. But anyway, we'll get that started after we dispose of all the other formula things we do every week. So think about that. Put your thinking cap on. Screw up your courage. We want you to call in. Don't be nervous. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got a deer camp that you care dearly about, we'd like to hear from you. Right now, though, what's the number, Bob, if somebody wants to call in?
The number to call, 1-800-966-1039. Have to dial the whole number. You know that, Paul, don't you? If you're local.
Yes, I do.
Then 1-800-966-1039.
Okay. And if you're new to the show tonight, you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 101.3, 103.9, and 95.1 in Rockland. And don't forget, tell your friends all over the world that we're now streaming this show live, and all I have to do is go online and Google WVOM Podcasts. And once you get to the podcast, you just click on Listen, and you can hear the show anywhere in the world.
Amazing. Isn't absolutely amazing. Yeah. Incredible is even a better description.
You could hear us in London or Brussels.
Isn't that something?
Or anywhere.
Yeah, we'd love to hear somebody call from those places, wouldn't we?
We'd like to have somebody call from
1-800.
Kenya.
Kenya.
Yeah, right.
Hugging elephants out there in Kenya.
Yeah, you bet. All right, a couple of things here. The Northwest Sporting Journal, as you know, is a part-time sponsor of this program. And the November issue of our publication is on newsstands anywhere you want to get them. Big buck on the cover. You can't miss it. And if you want to save a few dollars, if you like our publication, you best to get a subscription. You save a bundle of bucks, and you can get one by calling Alicia at the office during the week at 732-4880. That's 732-4880.
Great Christmas present.
They do make a great Christmas present.
Great for a serviceman, too, wouldn't it?
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet. So check our website out at www.sportingjournal.com. And remember, if you have an active military personnel overseas or at home, and they'd like to stay connected to Maine, they can do it by getting a free digital subscription for the Northwood Sporting Journal.
Free digital subscription.
Yes. Yeah, anywhere in the world. Mm-mm. Let's see. Outdoor Digest time right now, brought to you by the Sporting Journal. Deer hunting update. I've been out in the woods, Bob, before I took my fall, and you won't believe this, but the other day I hunted Orrington all morning, got lost in a, kind of turned around behind a swamp, and I didn't want to get my feet wet, so I had to go.
Any hunter that says to you that I've never been lost is lying.
You bet, yeah. Well, I just got turned around a little bit, but anyway, I finally got out okay. Never saw a deer, saw some tracks. And I'm about 11 o'clock, I thought I'd drive back to the house and have coffee with Diane, maybe have a sandwich. Mm-hmm. And as I came down off the Fields Pond Road onto the Wiswell Road, you know where that is?
Oh, yeah.
This is a true story. Mm-hmm. There's a doe right beside the road eating on the front lawn in front of this little bungalow right there, Wiswell Road. Yeah. You imagine that?
They know, don't they?
They know they're safe.
They learn fast, don't they?
They're safe around these homes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that happened, and then I was coming out off that other mountain I was telling you about the other day, and there's a new house built up in there, and the sign says the name of the road these folks live on is called Deer Path, and this is the truth. Coming down right after it just started to get dark, two does walked right across out of that driveway.
Yeah, no kidding.
From said Deer Path.
Two does.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Where were they, all the bucks? They had night hiding out.
Haven't seen a lot of, I've seen just a few scrapes. And maybe one rub, but I'm not seeing as much buck sign as I normally do.
They're back in the woods, Paul. They're hiding out.
Yeah, I think they are. Mm. Anyway, maybe this cool weather will get them motivated a little bit.
If you go down to the coast, I've seen so many deer there while I'm working down there.
Yeah.
On the island, Stonington.
Yeah, that's where they are.
It's amazing. I mean, oh, yeah. Like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you've got 2-3 deer on somebody's front lawn.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're always in the wrong place at the wrong time. Yeah. Let's see, a couple other things. The Maine Warden Service is now recruiting for deputy game wardens. They want to train you to do boating regulation checks on Moosehead Lake, Sebago, and some of the Belgrade lakes next summer. And you have until December 20th to apply. But if you'd be interested in being a deputy game warden next summer to enforce boating regulations in the state of Maine on the lakes and ponds of Maine, you can check in by going to the Fish and Wildlife website, and they're looking for recruits right now, and you have until December 20 of this year, 2022. Just go to the website and click on the Warden Service section of that website. Let's see.
That would be a good job for somebody in the summer.
Oh, what an
ideal. You know, if they're a student or something.
Yeah.
If they like warden's work.
Oh, yeah.
They might go right into the warden service itself later on.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
It's a good career now.
It is really good. You bet. And they're looking for active game wardens, and that's a good training ground.
Oh, absolutely.
Right out. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know how much they get a year now? Sat off with?
No idea.
$60,000 a
year.
Good
day, yeah.
Yes. Now, that's pretty good for
Plus, Maine. They get an ATV and a snow sled and a pickup truck.
Yes, and a pickup truck and a boat and a motor.
Yeah.
And you name it. And everything else is available if they want it, a canoe, boats,
you
boats,
bet.
Whatever.
Yeah. Okay, one other thing.
And uniforms.
Yes. Want to remind you folks, again, if you're deer hunting, remember muzzle discipline. Remember where you point that gun, particularly when you're loading and unloading. And if you get lost in the woods, what's the first thing you do if you get lost in the woods?
First thing you do is check your compass, one thing.
Yeah, but if that doesn't do any good, what do you do?
Well, it depends on a lot depends on the weather and the time of day.
Yeah.
And I always use it. I've been lost many times. And first thing I always did was check my compass and follow a stream back to the road.
But what if it's almost dark?
Well, if it's almost
and you
dark,
don't have a clue where
right
you are.
There. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere.
Okay. STOP is the acronym,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
STOP. Remember that. STOP.
Yeah.
And what's that stand for, Norm?
Don't know.
Okay, I think I know. It stands for...
I know I'm supposed to stop.
S stands for stop.
Stop.
T stops for think.
Think.
O stands for organize. And P stands for puke? No.
No,
plan.
Plan, yeah.
Stop, S-T-O-P. So don't forget that. If you do get lost and turn around, if it's almost dark, it's best just to sit down and somebody will find you.
Oh, yeah.
Start a fire if you can.
That moving around is bad.
Yeah, in the
At
dark.
At night especially, yeah.
Moving around the woods in the dark ain't
bad.
Good. You can poke your eye out or fall down and get hurt.
Yes.
Okay, I think it's time to bring in the band, Norm.
Bring in the band.
Bring in the band.
Here we go.
Here we go. Here we go, Bob.
There we go.
Here we go.
I'm the big boss, Bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
What the heck is going on? Anybody fishing now?
Yeah, well, you know, I noticed today going across the Kentucky River that thing is boiling, really rolling.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We got a lot of rain the last couple of weeks,
yep.
And it's been so, you know, drought conditions, but right now there's no shortage of rain anyway, brooks and streams. And I was thinking, you know, that my goodness, Atlantic salmon are having a ball running up and down these rivers, mostly up. And finding tributaries to get into and spawn. And they'll be spawning this year places that they never was able to get to. There'll be a lot of beaver dams, I'm sure, got washed out. So they'll be able to get into a lot of places that you and I used to go fishing, stuff, places that we used to go fishing that you can't even get to now or fish very well with all the beaver dams, you know. But a lot of those get washed out, and the salmon get right up in there. Piscataquis River, for instance, they can come up the Penobscot, go up the Piscataquis, go up some of those brooks, you know, up through Medford and so on, up through that country. And they can get up in those beautiful brooks that run in there with spring-fed and spawn. One time on Whiting Hill in Brewer, I used to trap years ago muskrat and mink down over the hill, that little brook that runs down through there and comes into the salmon pool eventually. Salmon got all the way up as far as Whiting Hill. Did you know that?
Amazing,
Atlantic salmon.
Yeah.
And I saw him in there many times trapping, and I couldn't believe it. You know, 15, 18-pound salmon in that. I thought they were beaver.
You're talking Atlantic?
They were Atlantic.
Atlantic salmon.
Absolutely. Yeah. They used to go up. I had a house right there in the corner of the salmon pool at one time, right on Route 9. And that brook that comes down through ran right by my house. And I'd go down over the bank right there, and somebody would see the salmon would come up in there because it was cooler in July and August. And they'd come up in there, you know, to get cooled down.
So you went down there with a daredevil and tried to foul hook them?
Many times with a net. With a net.
Oh.
No, I didn't. I didn't. But I got pictures of them, so anyway.
Yeah.
No, but I was going to mention that because this water is fantastic for salmon, and they'll really get in a lot of places. They should do very well. And coming back across the Guagas and some of those other rivers that down east rivers were flowing really heavy too. So that's good news right there.
Good.
And you mentioned this kind of a night, these dark nights. You know, this dark rainy night that like tonight, for instance, that's the best kind of a night for deer to come out of the woods and feed.
I would think so. Yeah.
Those the dark rainy nights mostly, because I know when I was doing a lot of waters work. those nights were the ones we really had to go out and check, do a lot of checking, because the rainy nights were the ones that
the poachers too.
Oh, the poachers, they learned that early.
Oh yeah,
they did.
Sure.
But there's a lot of truth in that. So, and that's about it for tonight. Except for the wardens, it's an awful good career for anybody.
Yeah, I think
60
so.
Grand a year to start with.
You bet.
And you don't have many restrictions like they used to have. You used to have to be 26, and now I think you have to be 21. And I believe they don't have to be college, and they will train you. and they will pay for a lot of your boarding if necessary. Did you know that?
I think
they got boarding camps all over the place.
I think they like to have you have at least 2 years of college under your belt, I believe.
Well, they'd like to have you have four,
you know. Yeah.
But if you don't, that's something. They will put you through crime school, or they prefer that you go to crime school.
Yeah.
And that would be good. But as I said, they're really looking out for some help today.
You bet.
And so I guess I'll just about wrap it up.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that report.
Before we go to the trivia, can we take a caller? He's been on hold for about 9 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Oh, that's no problem at all. I've been waiting for 60 years to get on the phone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but you want to hear my favorite camp story?
Yeah, a deer camp. You got a deer camp story?
Yeah, deer camp. Yeah, I just want to let you know I'm 74, and this is my 60th year at deer camp. And my favorite story is when I was 14 years old.
What's your first name?
I'm Bill.
Okay, Bill. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I'm from Connecticut. I'm an out-of-stater.
Okay, that's all right. We don't hold it against you.
No, that's okay. I've come north for 60 straight years.
Good for you. That is fantastic. 60 years you've been coming to deer camp.
Yeah. I've missed 2 years.
That is fantastic. Congratulations. Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
So you started
I'll be out in the woods tomorrow.
Yeah, at deer camp?
But I was, pardon?
At your deer camp?
Now, yep.
Yeah, can you tell us roughly where you are, just roughly?
Denniesville.
Oh, up in Denniesville. Okay, down east. Okay.
Up in Denniesville. Yep. But, my favorite story was in Vermont, because that's why I started hunting with my dad.
Yeah.
And we were invited to a deer camp. And on Thanksgiving morning, a day like yesterday, with that rain and blustery wind, I killed an eight-pointer.
Yeah.
And that was my first deer.
Oh, man, that's a good way to start. Yeah.
It was a great way to start.
Yeah.
But I always remember, I tell this story, there was this big loudmouth from New York State who hunted all over the Adirondacks, hunted Maine, hunted places. And I remember him telling my father, you're going to spend $22 for an out-of-state license on this guy, this kid? And I shot the biggest buck. I shot the biggest buck in deer camp.
Oh, good for you. Hey, that's great.
So I have, and I have never looked back.
Yeah. So I can conclude then, this deer camp in Denniesville, you must have started going there when you were in your early 20s?
Nope. I hunted Vermont with my dad until my late 20s.
Yeah.
And then I went to Maine because I wanted to shoot something bigger.
I see.
And actually, I stayed at Robinson's Cottages for years in Edmonds.
So you own your own camp?
Right next to Denniesville.
You own your own deer camp?
No, I don't. Unfortunately, that I don't.
Okay, so you go
I got nice places. Always had nice camps to stay. I used to rent a camp and bring a bunch of people up from out of state.
Yeah. Do you have a hunting buddy, or you hunt alone, or what?
Oh no, I have a hunting buddies.
Yeah.
I've lost a lot of hunting buddies over the years.
Yeah, that happens as we get older, doesn't it?
Where are you calling
but
from?
I remember them all. I hunt with my dad's rifle now, .32 Special.
Yeah.
In fact, I take my personal gun, my .35 Marlin lever action, out one day, and then I take his gun out the next day.
You know, I have a .35 Marlin that I inherited from my wife's late father, and it's a wonderful deer gun. I love the toe thing, and my wife Diane took up hunting, and she stole it away from me, so I can't use it anymore. But that's
I'm lucky. My wife doesn't hunt.
Yeah, that's a nice gun, .35 Marlin. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I love it. Yeah. I love my dad's .32 Special.
Yeah,
that's a lever action. Yeah. Last year I got a nice buck with his .32 Special.
Good for you. So, that's the kind of nice thing about
deer. Tomorrow I hunt with the .35, but the next day I'll hunt with the .32.
Oh yeah, swap back and forth. Good for you.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
That was my favorite story, and God knows I have many of them.
Yeah.
Could I ask?
I don't want to take your whole show up because I know you got a lot of other people.
Okay, Bob has a question for you, Bill.
I just wanted to know, you're in Maine now, right? So you're calling from Maine.
Yeah, I'm in Maine now.
And you came originally from where?
I come up from Connecticut.
From Connecticut. Okay, well, that's pretty good. Thanks a lot for calling up.
All right, Bill, we appreciate
it.
Good luck.
I appreciate your show. You know, when I'm up here this time of the year, I always listen to you.
Glad to hear
you can pick us up in Connecticut now.
Yeah. Good luck in the deer woods.
The minute I knew the topic, I says, I'm calling in right away.
Good for you. Well, we hope there are a lot of other folks out there that join you. Thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate it.
Okay. You take care. All right. Pleasure talking to you.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bill set the pace, so you know the drill here tonight, folks. We want to hear from you about your favorite deer camp. If I get a chance, I may tell you about mine. Before we do that, though, Bob Lehman is eager to give away one of his streamer flies, his famous keepsake streamer flies, if you can answer his question. What is the question, Bob?
And the question is, who was a legendary American hunter and outdoor writer who made the 270 rifle so iconic?
So iconic. And for you folks in Orrinville, iconic means what, Norm? You know? Famous, right?
Famous, famous, exactly. Yeah. Right.
All right. 1-800-966-1039. We'll be right back. Okay. We're back with Maine Outdoors, and Bob Lehman wants you to answer his question. He wants to know, who is the legendary American hunter and outdoor writer who made the 270 rifle so famous? And we have a call standing by. Good evening, caller.
Hello there.
Hi.
This is Sneaker calling from Norway.
Oh, Sneaker, how you doing?
Not bad at all. Sneaker. Not bad at all.
All right. Yeah, that's Fern.
That's Fern?
Fern.
Oh, okay. Okay, Fern, what do you think the answer is?
I would say that was Jack O'Connor, and he had a Winchester Model 70.
Before I say if you're correct, Fern, is your wife bossy?
Well, that's her last name.
So the answer is yes, right?
we let him think so, right?
Yes, I know. Fern Bossy, the famed fly tyer from Norway, Maine.
All right, congratulations.
He's absolutely
Fern.
Correct.
He has the right answer, right?
He certainly does.
So Bob's going to send you one of his famous keepsake streamer flies, okay, Fern?
Oh, okie dokie.
Yeah,
he wrote for Outdoor Life magazine.
Right.
I guess he was writing for him when I first started reading it when I was about maybe 8 or 9 years old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he goes way back.
I subscribed to that right up until the time that I guess they're gone by the wayside. They went from monthly to quarterly, and I guess now they're gone.
Yeah, they went belly up.
Steel.
Yeah, too bad. Yeah. Sad thing, yeah. 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 Yeah, Jack O'Connor really made the 270 famous, and yeah, I have a 270 I inherited from my dad, and I used it to take an elk last fall. And it's always great to carry a gun that you knew your dad once carried. It's a nice feeling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in, Fern. Awful nice to talk to you. We must get together sometime, you and I.
Yeah, we ought to.
We should.
Are you a deer hunter at all, Fern?
Well, let's put it this way. I guess you'd answer yes, and I've held a guide's license for 55 years and done a lot of guiding for the last 20 years was in the Rangeley area for trout and salmon.
Yeah.
But I also worked for the fellow that he and his wife run Black Brick Cove Campground on the south end of Siskahoss Lake.
Oh, okay,
and
sure.
I guided moose and deer.
Yeah,
and a lot of bear, probably moose and bear more than the deer.
Yeah, did you ever belong to a deer camp?
Well, I guess I had two bona fide camps. We built a camp. My father and I and my brother and my brother in law at the time, we built a camp up in Gilead, right on the Maine New Hampshire line.
Oh yeah.
And we had that for 32 years, and then I bought a place practically on the end of the Pamacini Road, and I hunted out of that guided out of that for another 12.
Yeah. Yeah, deer camp is a special place, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. What happens at deer camp stays at deer camp.
Yeah, that's very good. I like
all
that.
Right. Okay. On that note, Fern, we're going to put you on hold, and Norma's going to get your address, and Bob will send the fly right out to you, okay?
Have you got a preference, Fern? Have you got a preference for fly?
Well, no, not tied by you. All right, but the pattern, I'd like one of your flies
one of my creations, yeah.
Well, and then you look at the same way I look at my sneaker.
Okay, we'll do. I certainly will do that.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Stay on the line, Fern, okay? Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
All right, that was the correct answer. Jack O'Connor made the 270 rifle famous in America way back in the I think it was back in the 40s.
Oh, heavens, yes. You used to read those. Outdoor Life, Field and Stream. I loved them as a kid.
Used to love the art. Used to love the art on the covers.
Oh, heavens, yes. They were great. Yeah. They were great. Yeah. No question about it.
Yeah. Okay, we again, as we explained at the outset of the show, we have no guests tonight. We're depending on you to...
You're going up to deer camp tomorrow.
Yes, I am.
For how long? For a week?
I'll be there for a week, yep.
Yep. How many guys go there?
Oh, golly. For the week is... By the end of the week, I think there are going to be 9 or 10 guys, but usually... It's 6 or 7 during the week that really hunt.
Pretty good luck to hear, or you do mostly a lot of inside work?
No, we do. No, we're serious. Some of us still seriously hunt. Deer are scarce up
there.
Yes,
I know. I'm kidding.
They're not what they are around here. Oh, but,
sure.
But we took a couple of nice bucks last fall.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know your son's heading up there tonight.
Yeah, Scotty's on his way up with all the grub, I think.
Yeah.
But first, I want to set the stage a little bit. We don't usually like to read things to you folks. Like to make it more spontaneous, but this is so well written. I want to share this with you. I thought it was sort of set the stage,
sure,
Bob.
Sure, sure.
And you folks at home, listen to this. This is from one of my favorite books. It's called Legendary Deer Camps. And this historian deer hunter from Wisconsin did a lot of research, and he researched all of the most famous deer camps in America. And there were a lot of them going way back. And before we take your call, I need to read this to you to set the stage, all right? This is on the dust cover of this book. It says, tradition is the core of deer camp. It's the smell of damp wool coats hanging across chairs and the heat radiating from old wood stoves. It's the smell of firewood and the aroma of frying venison tenderloin mixing in the air. It's the camaraderie, the legends, the old storytellers, and the new story makers. Deer camp is a place steeped in memory, folklore, and family history. I get goosebumps.
Oh, do you?
Oh, man, I love that.
You love that, yeah.
Anyway, that sets the stage for the deer camp. It's a special place for those of us who have been going to places like that, which I've been doing for 50.
It's all true, absolutely.
I've been going to my deer camp for 55 years this year, I think.
Is that so?
Yeah. And we have a caller standing by who's going to share his story or her story of deer camp. Good evening, caller.
Hello there. I don't know if that counts, but you have the nomadic deer camps. The ones that are in the back of 8-foot Chevy pickup beds.
Okay. Yeah, that counts.
The Joe Marianella's pit with that every year.
Yeah,
the
you
blue
have.
Blue tarp made an 8x8 outbuilding.
Yeah.
In there overnight.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
The big silver container of propane, the big bottle of silver ones they used to have.
Yep. Yeah.
This is back around 1970.
Yeah, and you can move
I
your
was
camp.
One of the younger. My dad even had an old school bus. He made a camper out of that. And I was the youngest kid in deer camp, so. I learned how to play cards and swear. I swore off the liquor. I saw too much what bad stuff would happen.
Yeah, okay. So are you still hunting from your deer camp?
Yeah, no, not anymore. All the old pickup trucks and all the... I'm the only guy left alive. All the other guys are all passed on.
Yeah, that's a sad part of getting older, yeah. Yeah.
70s, 80s, 90s, they're all gone. I'm the last guy left.
Yeah.
Still have the memories, though.
That's... Gone. But I will tell you a couple stories. We got a... hold of some pepperoni pizza one night. That wasn't so good. So I got up, felt bad as anything. Oh, I didn't even want to go. But they said, come on, let's go. I go out there. I feel like I'm going to regurgitate any second. And I hear a noise. I look down, and here's a deer coming toward me. Just about dropping my cookies. And I fire, and it starts running toward me instead of away from me. Second shot, I got it. It was like a 6-pointer, medium size. Boy, was I sick. We get back to camp, and then later that day, I put the truck down in the ditch off the road and got stuck. So it wasn't a good day, but I did get a deer out of it.
Oh, wow. Well,
another guy fired at a deer, one of them Remington automatic. I think it was a 670.
Yeah.
760, I mean. An old 30-06. He fired it, and the magazine fell out. He missed the deer. It was a big buck. He was so mad, he banged that rifle against the tree for like 10 minutes. That's what I mean about that John Bean.
Yeah.
That's all. A lot of cards and a lot of swearing.
All right. Well, we appreciate your call. And
a lot of memories.
All right. You bet.
All right.
Special memories. Thanks for the call. Did you ever have a deer camp, Bob?
Well, you know, speaking of deer camps, I remember going to the deer cutting camps. The
loggers,
deer cutters,
the loggers,
places like Greenfield and up through there, where the woods cutters were out there all day, and they had these big log... I guess they were food camps where they'd come in and they'd get up early in the morning.
Right.
And they'd go in and get an early, early breakfast right around daylight. Norm knows about this. Mm-hmm. And then they'd go cut wood all day, take it to lunch with them, come back in at night. And several times I have visited those camps you know, hunting deer in that area because they are the best places to hunt in those days.
Oh, fresh cuts.
Those old cuttings, fresh cut, as you know. There's a lot of stuff growing and a lot of buds that get cut down and laying there to fresh cuts. And the deer come for miles just to feed in, on those on those new buds just fallen, you know. They can't reach them, but they can reach them now because they're laying on the ground, you know, for a few days before they whistle up. But I have memories of those places eating in there. The crooks would come, you know, and give us a big. All we wanted was a drink of water or something, you know.
You ended up eating a big slab of apple pie.
Yes. They brought donuts, you know, and coffee and apple pie. And good heavens, we never expected anything like that. But they had long tables where those woodcutters would come in and eat, you know. And every Saturday night, I imagine, they all got beans. You know?
Oh, yeah, big beans.
But the beans were all, you know. What do they call that when you bake them in the ground? Those.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's a word for it, but it's they make the best beans that way. Oh,
you bet.
God, are they good?
Yeah. I think the engineer says we're gonna take a commercial break. You folks at home, get your stories about your deer camp ready. It doesn't have to be a wild story. You can just be share with us why you like your deer camp. We'll be right back here on Maine Outdoors. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors. The topic tonight is your special deer camp. We're interested in hearing you talk to us a little bit about your deer camp and why it means so much to you and what it's all about. We have some callers backed up. Let's take a call, Bob. Good evening. You're in Maine Outdoors.
Yeah, how you doing tonight?
Fine. How about yourself?
Good. My name's Bill. I'm a repeat caller. I'm calling from Malunkus Lake tonight.
Malunkus.
I'd like to share my favorite deer camp. Mm. Located up on the second east branch of the McGalloway River, up in the western boundary mountains north of Rainsley called Bowmantown.
Yep.
And we've had it for over 30 years up there. It's up in the mountains, about 2,200 feet where camp sits. So.
Oh, that sounds like a dream camp.
Yeah, it's beautiful right on the river there. It doesn't matter which way you hunt. It's uphill every way. So that can be good some days if you shoot one on that way and you drag it downhill is good.
Roll it downhill. That's better than rolling it uphill. So how many people do you have in your deer camp, a normal?
We started with eight, and we lost my uncle a while back, God rest his soul. He was one of the original founders, and his four sons, my cousins, myself. And we've got a couple of second-generation people in it now, so we're still back to the original eight, family anyways.
Yeah.
It's been 30-plus years, going strong, and it's a beautiful place for us.
Yeah.
I couldn't be up there this week, but normally this is the week they're up there. They're school teachers, so they get Veterans Day off and stuff, so that's the week they can get some time off and get up there. Mm-hmm. And shout out to those guys and thank them for what they do. And thank all the veterans. A little bit late, but thanks for everything they do and have done and continue to do for us.
Yeah, okay. Amen to that, brother. So your camp has been at it for quite a while. Can you kind of describe the inside of your camp for us? What's it look like in there?
Well, it was a raw piece of land when we bought one. It's a lease land. It's behind that gated property, a real big pig company lease anyway. And you pull in, the river's right there. Right where the spot is, there used to be a bridge crossing the second east branch, and that got washed away. So we got a nice landing and a swimming hole and fire pit, picnic table, all that. And then up to the left-hand side, as you pull in a little bit, it's a high spot. Camp sits up there. It's a camp we built right there by hand, cut the logs and the cedar logs down, built framework on that. And,
oh, wow.
And the open loft on the back half and cathedral in the front. And then we built a bunk room on the back of that. And we've got a kind of guest house off to the side now down front because we keep growing and growing. But, it's real nice. We got solar power and we got pressurized running water from the creek way up on the hill. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. It's real comfortable. You can wash your hands and brush your teeth at the kitchen sink.
Yeah. Now, you have an outhouse?
Yeah, brand new one, actually. That's one of the really nice niceties. It's all pine boards, all varnished.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's something different than the ones we use. Is it a two-holer? Two-holer?
Got heat in it and all that. So,
Oh, that's great.
Got a cool shed beside that. So, we're all in our 60s-plus now, so we try to have some amenities when we go in.
Oh, you like that, yeah. What do you do you have one person cook, or how does that work?
Oh, no, everybody rotates. You know, people got different things. I'm kind of always a breakfast guy, so I always do that, seems like. And some guys like your famous chili, or you know how camp goes. Everybody brings something, you know. Their wife
chips in, yeah.
Or,
You know, so it's all kind of a hodgepodge. You never know. Some years there'll be a dozen. Some years there might only be six or so, you know.
Yeah. Do you play cards or anything like that?
But always works out. Yeah, backgammon, cribbage, you know, whatever's going.
Yeah. You know what we do? We used to play poker, but a few years ago we discovered that we liked having a cribbage tournament, and everybody kicks in $10, and we play to have a playoff all week, and at the end of the week somebody wins $100, and it's a lot of fun.
I bet it is.
You guys get out of it cheap.
Yeah.
You what?
We sell in usually a little more than $10.
Yeah. we're cheap.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, back to Fern Bossy's thing about what happens at camp stays at camp. So I can tell you about camp.
I like that,
So we'll stay that way. And on that 35-mile, and that's what I carried for years and years in those mountains, was a 35 lever-action mile, and shot a lot of deer, passed it around camp to a lot of hunters that damaged the gun or whatever, and they shot deer with it. So,
yeah,
you know, they're short, they come up quick, you know, put some over and under sights on it, and not a real powerful scope because you're not into that stuff. But
yeah, it's a nice deer gun for Maine. Hey, we appreciate your joining us tonight, Bill. Great stories about your camp, and good luck up there.
All right.
Good luck in the deer woods.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks.
Have a good evening.
You too. Thanks for calling.
I remember the beanhole beans.
Beanhole, that's it.
That's it.
Beanhole beans.
Those are the greatest things.
Yeah.
And every Saturday night, it was really windy up there.
Okay.
That's right, Carl.
We want to take a real short commercial break to tell folks about General Appliance and Brewer.
Yes.
All right?
Absolutely. Well, it is time for everybody to go to General Appliance and Brewer, and they are our sponsors, have been for years. They sell gas ranges. That's what they specialize in, is gas lights, gas ranges, gas refrigerators, and gas freezers, or the top-of-the-line compost toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
Thank you, Norman. And they also have all the parts you need for all your gas appliances. And they also sell electric appliances of all kinds and all colors. And if you don't stop in and check them out, you'll really be sorry, because they've got a tremendous line in all the colors that you don't want to look at. And so be sure and stop in and see them. And on those compost toilets, you know, have you ever used one of those?
Never have.
You ought to have one at deer camp.
But if you keep talking about it, I may have to rush out and buy one and throw out my flush toilet.
Yeah, because, you know, there's no running water, no plumbing, no plug-in, no septic, no leach fields, no environment, and no mosquitoes.
Yeah. And you know what I like about General Appliance? Seriously.
Yeah.
No bull. About General Appliance is I like the guy that owns the place and operates the place. He's always in there. He always can answer questions. He's a great guy to do business with. He's honest. He's straightforward. And it's great to feel comfortable when you,
he's a great guy.
Shop with somebody who you trust.
He's a peach.
So Al's a good guy.
Al Elkin, yeah.
He's the best reason to go there.
Absolutely.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate
that. And they sell our books over there,
yes,
too.
Yes, sir, they do.
Yes, they do. And a lot of them.
Yes. Anyway, we were talking about special deer camps, and we have some callers queued up. Let's take a call. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors.
Yes, this is David Moldau.
Yes, David.
I was the winner of your Perfect Deer Camp contest years ago.
You were? Well,
yeah.
You know, I was thinking about that the other day.
Perfect Deer Camp.
Congratulations. Refresh my memory, David.
Yeah, that was, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. You had a contest in the Northwood Sporting Journal for the Perfect Deer Camp. And,
right.
And you picked mine to be the winner out of it.
And tell us about your camp that won. I was trying to remember. It was unusual, I remember.
It was an old log cabin. It was built back in the early 40s. And I've got all the history of that camp, pretty much, that was ever into that camp, and from the people that built it and stuff. And but it was, it's still going strong. I just put a new roof on it this fall and stuff. And but it's still, as far as I'm concerned, the Perfect Deer Camp.
All right.
Name of it's Buck Heaven. But
Buck Heaven, oh, that's a great name.
You got the picture of it in your book, too.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Under deer camps.
All right. And
I just wanted to give you a little deer story I had one time.
Yeah, go ahead.
That somebody might want to try.
All right.
I had my wife's cousins up from Massachusetts, and they were sleeping in one morning, so I went out, and we had some snow on the ground, and I went out looking around, and I see some deer tracks and stuff, and I came back, and they were just getting out of bed, and I kind of told them, I says, geez, you guys could have got out of bed if you want to go shoot a deer. So I says, why don't you cross straight down down past Campy. I said, we'll go down and look at it. Well, I had taken putting some chocolate-covered raisins down on the ground. And I covered the ground. So when we walked back there, and I said, look, there's fresh deer trap right here. I said, you can tell if it's fresh or if it isn't frozen. So you pick it up, and you squeeze it, right? And then you smell it, because you make sure you smell it, because you want to make sure it's the raisins, not the real thing. Right? So then I'm saying, yeah, it's fresh. It smells fresh. Yeah. I threw it in my mouth, and I started eating it. I'm going, my God, what are you doing? I said, well, how do you think I shoot so many deer? So I had to let him go on with that for a while before I told him the truth.
That's
pretty good.
That's a great story, David.
It is.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, somebody might want to try that with some new and young.
Yeah, I think. So. Yeah, I think you got something going there. That's great. Oh boy.
Alrighty.
All right. Appreciate it, David, and and good luck at deer camp.
You too.
And thanks for the call.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
Hey, we have another one.
Let's take another call. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. Tell us about your deer camp.
We used to go to St. Croix, Maine, and take campers in camping.
Yeah.
And I was 16, and we got up early in the morning, and we're walking. We drove down this old tote road, and nobody wanted to get out of the truck. There's a big buck track in the road, and I took that big buck track. I went probably, I don't know, 300 yards on it, and he was laying down in a cotton, him and a doe. And the doe was standing. He was laying down. He stood up. I fired a 32 Winchester, shot right over his back the first time. The second time, I caught him in the backbone and killed him. He weighed 210 pounds.
Wow. You never know, do you?
Yeah. No, I was 16 at that time, and that was pretty awesome.
Oh, I would think so.
And then we went back to camp, and I had a dream that night that a bear had caught him and stabbed me by the leg in a brush pile. And the very next day, my best friend shot a 300-pound bear coming out of a brush pile.
Right.
And that's a fact. That's the absolute truth.
Oh, I'll be doggone.
That was a thing. Yeah, we used to go up there every year in St. Croix. All the people that I used to go up there now are passed away. Gone.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
so you have no deer camp you go to now?
No. Right, I hunt right out of my house. We don't go. Nope, not so much anymore.
Yeah.
Everybody that I used to hunt with are gone.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Have fun. Good time.
All right.
Anyway. Well, that's have a great day night. We'll see you.
A great story. We appreciate it. Now, did you see any droppings on that buck? I guess we lost him.
It's gone.
Okay. Do we have any other callers?
We do.
All right. Let's take a call. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. We're talking about your special deer camp.
Yeah. This is Sneaker again.
Hi, Sneaker.
And got a couple quick stories.
All right.
The two hunting camps that I had. We had, I guess you'd call it a tradition. I did all the cooking, the planning, the meals, and whatever like that. But when it came to washing dishes and drying the dishes, we cut cads. Everybody cut cads except me, because I was the cook, okay?
Yeah, oh yeah.
But the high cad, when you cut the cads, high cad washes and low cad wipes. And we had 30 years in Gilead and about 15 years up there at the camp at the end of the Pamuchini Road. But getting back to the 270, whatever like that, I had a friend that was working with us, and he came up and stayed the weekend, whatever like that, because he hadn't hunted up there, whatever like that. He was a good hunter. But anyway, so we went out Saturday morning. We got up there Friday night, and I put him on where I really wanted to stand because I'd been working that area, hunting the area, whatever like that. And I discovered a real good deer trail, you know, whatever like that. And I knew there was a good buck down in there. Well, I put him up anyway. I put him down there on that stand. And sure enough, probably maybe 20 minutes after legal shooting time or whatever like that, I heard him shoot. So I went down, and there he was standing over a beautiful 8-point buck. He was on the other side of he was on one side of the Portland pipeline. The buck came out sneaking, had his head right down to the ground. And Mike had that 270, all right? And I went over and I looked at it, and I said, well, where'd you hit him? He said, look right under his eye. Mm-hmm. So just one side of his nose under his eye, that 130-grain 270 hit that. Mm. And it kind of bugged his eyes out and blew his brains right out the ear.
Yeah.
But that was that Winchester 270.
Mm.
And that's quite a gun.
Wow. All right.
It was a nice deal.
All right. We appreciate the call, Fern. We've got a couple other callers backed up. We want to give them a chance, okay?
Okay.
Right, thanks for the call. Yep. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Let's take another call. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors. We're talking about deer camp. Go ahead.
Yeah. You got me?
Yes, we have. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Dave from Bradley. First of all, I got to tell you guys how much I enjoy the show and look forward to it each week.
You
guys in Hot Cold are my go-to shows for the whole week.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
And Al Elkins sponsors you both. So
Yeah,
he does a good job.
Yeah. We grew up with my in-laws hunting camp up on Wittapitlock Lake and never was very successful in the days that I went there with my four sons. But the greatest thing about that whole experience among the many was the old guys and the information they transferred. We had an uncle there that taught us how to make hoops for potato barrels, which is how he put himself through high school, basically, earning a man's wage as a high schooler, and different sort of old woods lore sort of things like that.
Yeah.
And just being with those old-timers was just such a blessing in life for
me. Well, you don't have to get a deer to have a good time at deer camp, do you?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Well, all right.
Do they have a game pole at your camp?
What's that?
Do they have a game pole at your camp? Or they hung the deer?
Well,
like
in the times that I was there, I don't think anybody ever got one. They were pretty well hunted out.
All right, Dave.
They did in the times that I wasn't there, some of the weeks that I wasn't there. But no, we didn't have a pole. We had a tree branch we could hang.
All right. We appreciate that, David. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
And we're going to go out here on this note. This is from a poem, Bob, called Palace and the Popple.
Mm-hmm.
And the end of it goes like this. A man can live for a solid week in the same old underbritches and walk like a man and spit when he wants and scratch himself where he itches.
Yeah.
I tell you, boys, there's no place else I'd rather be come fall than deer camp.
Deer camp.
All right. Next week, I'll be at deer camp. And next week, Jim Thorne will be hosting, and Bob and I will see you in two more weeks right here on
Maine Outdoors.